Sounds like this. Oh, no, it does.
Oh, God. Okay, it's been a long time. It's been way out of- Yeah, I had a feeling that would happen.
We're back.
Yes, it's been a long time coming.
It's been a long time waiting.
Yeah,
and rescheduling and summer work
and crying and
different countries
trying not to get coronavirus.
I failed there.
Yep. How was it? How did it affect you? Oh, God.
Not that much.
You just looked into the distance like you were a Vietnam War vet, sniffed and said not that much.
I was a bit sniffy. I had a cold. That was it.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, a lot happened. Since then, a lot of movies.
Yes, a lot of movies. We're finally getting back to a pretty regular schedule.
Don't say regular. We're only hoping to get back to your regular
schedule. Yeah, yeah. Let me not jinx it. Yeah, that's a good point.
Knock on wood.
Yes, this is made of wood, so we're good.
I think so, yeah. But first movie, towards the end of the summer, Black Widow. Finally, after almost more than 2 year hiatus.
Oh, yeah.
Regarding Marvel movies.
Yep, yep. The post phase 3 break, would you call it that?
The start of Phase 4.
Yeah, because they did it before, didn't they? Between Phase 1 and Phase 2, but that wasn't noticeable. This one was noticeable. You know, I felt like I hadn't seen any Marvel products in ages.
I mean, that was also because of Corona production. Mm. Halted everything down.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I don't know when we were first supposed to get Black Widow, but we finally got it. I think it was in June or July of 2021.
I'm going to put money on July 2021.
I think so too. I remember seeing it in a cinema and I was already finished with my own college.
Oh yeah, classes. You watched it in 4D as well, right?
I did.
Which, what was that like? What was the...
Fucking sensational.
Damn.
Oh, I really like 4D movies. I have friends who are not the biggest fans of it. My friends describe it as a theme park ride.
Oh right? Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You're scooting every side, water, sure. Smells. I generally don't dislike it. It does really help with the engagement first time watching, but I always recommend going another time. Just regular 3D or Dolby Atmos, IMAX. Just
see what you missed, you know?
See things you missed, indeed. And also because you kind of like know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Because I went to my first with Shang-Chi with... who did I go with again?
Me.
Oh, you! Yeah, that's right. I really enjoyed it. I think at some parts it's a little distracting when, you know, things are quiet, but... When things kick off again, it enhances it so much, like, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but that Black Widow... if you've seen the movie, you know the skydiving sequence.
Oh,
where
yes.
Where your chair was moving forward, wind was blowing everywhere.
Hell yeah.
It was very much a holy shit moment. Also because the score is so phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a great scene all around, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's start from the beginning, shall we? So, all that is to say, we're back, you know, we're here again, and movies are coming out, and all is well with the world.
Well, no.
You know, it's not, but in terms of movies, it's getting there.
Yeah, now the lawsuit's finally settled as well.
Yep. Oh, God, yeah.
But, okay, yeah, first, small recap, Black Widow, we pick off, actually, I think it's right after the events of Civil War, because it takes place between Civil War and Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
And the major complaint that I've been seeing from people or online is that this movie should have come out earlier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
And I do agree that Scarlett Johansson or just Natasha Romanoff deserved her own movie way earlier.
Way before.
But I also agree that if that Black Widow movie had come out earlier, it wouldn't have had this stellar cast or just the general vibe that it has right now.
No, yeah, that's an interesting point, actually, because you think about, like, the Phase 1 solo films. Well, they were all solo films, except the Avengers, but they had a very different vibe. They didn't really have, you know, it's all the world's ending. There's a big bad villain who's gonna kill everybody. But I think the scale post Phase 2 and post-Infinity War and all that stuff just became so big that Black Widow, for me, is the first solo film which feels almost as big as the bigger events in Marvel. Whereas, you know, like Iron Man 3 seems a little more tame and, you know, just not quite as grand scope. That was a DC character, so...
No. No, but I feel like with this movie, where you are reintroduced, kind of, to Black Widow, you see General Ross, and you finally get to meet her, kind of half-adopted assassin sister, Yelena... But I also feel like this movie would not have had the emotional impact it would have had if we as audiences didn't know how Natasha's arc would end in Endgame.
Yeah, I can understand that argument.
And it's a mind-blowing end credit scene.
Yeah, yeah. One of my notes is actually, I said, this end credits has actually made me emotional. Did not expect that from Black Widow.
I was like, what? No! Yeah.
And but also, honestly, let's go talking points. Number one for me, the biggest part of the movie, Florence Pugh as Yelena. Oh my god, she is fantastic. She's probably my favorite new addition character ages.
The thing you do when you go like this with the arm and your hair, you're a total poser.
Trust. And I feel like a different actress, that line could have felt a little forced and cringy. And
I think
like,
it was improvised as well.
Damn!
I think Florence made a comment about it behind the scenes.
Oh shit.
And the producers and everyone, they liked it so much that they put it in.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I just love that Natasha or Scarlett is just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you mean.
And she just opposed herself. That was disgusting.
Yes. I love that she also has a Russian accent, even as hit and miss as it is. I feel like it's better than the ScarJo's ever was, because she never really tried Scarlett Johansson. Yeah.
She had a small one.
Yeah.
She had a very small accent when later you have in the flashbacks where she thinks she's taking down Dracov.
Okay.
In the flashback with...
Oh, no, but I mean...
No, but you have the flashback in the car where she's talking through the phone where she does have a little bit of an accent.
Okay.
That's the only part I noticed when they actually tried for her to have...
I mean, it makes sense. Like, she's lived in America for so long. She's going to lose the accent, but... I remember Avengers 1, there were moments when you could tell she was trying to put a Russian accent on sometimes. Did not sound great. It did not sound great. No.
No, but regarding other performances, or just performances in general, well, Florence Pugh, stellar performance.
Steals the show, in my opinion.
I feel my favorite part, the two favorite parts are, well, the first one at the dinner table.
Yes.
Like when they're all together again, where she's explaining what it felt like to her, and...
To the mother, who's played by Rachel Weisz.
How the best part of her life was fake and no one told her.
Yeah.
That really hit. That's pretty painful to watch.
Yeah, and just the whole family dynamic was actually really well done, considering we don't know any of them except Black... Well, obviously, we didn't know any of them except ScarJo. Natasha Romanoff, I should say. But it was done really well. The conflict made sense. It felt real. The chemistry was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, David Harbour, by the way.
He puts in a pretty well performance, but I'm on the fence about his character because I feel like he's played pretty well, and you get a few laughs, but he has made the laughing stock in every scene.
Yeah,
and even the emotional scene. We've seen that from Marvel before.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they really, you know, the emotional scenes, they really made them, well, did them justice between Yelena and Natasha. But every emotional scene, or if... A Red Guardian would get an emotional scene.
Yeah,
they would just laugh it away, and that's just very.
That's a very good point.
The one kind of like titular male character for a change, has become the laughing stock
I feel like it's a problem with Marvel, though, the way they make the movies.
Yeah,
they always have to have one, and I disagree. Like a bit off topic, but I've been watching Ted Lasso recently, and every single character on that show. One of the characters, Higgins, could easily be the laughingstock. He doesn't need to be anything else. The show wouldn't necessarily, you know, if we didn't have the Higgins we have now, the show wouldn't be so dragged down by that.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they build him up as a real character. He has, you know, actual motivations. You know, he cares about his family and all this stuff. He's not just the laughingstock, but when he is, it works. And it's not, you know, it's not just that's his whole character. You just need to laugh at him. And I think when they do that, it's really lazy. It's really, it takes away from what, in my opinion, was a great character, just made less not entertaining, but less significant by the fact that he's the laughing stock.
He makes the comedic moments work
with
his voice and his non-verbal communication as well, but there are too many of them and not enough emotional moments. And the one emotional moment kind of at the end where it's like, don't you have anything to say? One thing is I would only mess it up like
that's true that's deep.
That's
also when he sat on the bed with Yelena. No, I thought that was a pretty good moment, pretty nice moment.
Yeah, I love this when we just sit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great, because that's what you do when family members are angry, you don't want to talk to them, or friends.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say anything, Just sit.
I thought that was really well done.
And then we cut back to the scene, and then he's talking about his father pissing on his hands.
Exactly. Like, that's like Marvel. Total whiplash, literally.
Yeah. Those are my only few misses. Like, just Red Guardian, David Harbour. David Harbour is a stellar performer.
Yeah.
He has some great acting chops, but yeah. The Red Guardian was very, like, sometimes, the majority of the time was funny, but another time was like, okay, guy, you can do something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Because besides that, we had the Lorne Balfe did the scoring for the movie, and the score is great. Like, even with the little Russian lullabies in the beginning, or the female choir,
yes,
or the bass drops. Oh, the movie is amazing. Or the music, I mean.
The music is amazing. No, I agree. I thought the music was great throughout the whole film, really. But you were talking about scenes. I think it's interesting that David Harbour is the, you know, the comic relief and all this stuff. When he plays a very similar role to the mum, who's played by Rachel Weisz. I can't remember the character's name.
Helena. And Melina.
Melina. Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of Inas, you know. But yeah, I feel like it's weird to think about, like, she is not at all played for laughs, pretty much whatsoever. She's mostly played for, like, sympathy and
emotional.
Yeah, she's the emotional, if you want to...
Yeah, but it's a little... She did still, you know, work in a system that
suppressed
people, but...
My point is...
You can't hate Rachel Weisz.
No, I don't know how
you... No, I mean, like, a character she plays, you can't really hate them.
No, I mean, she always crashes out of the park as well, but... What I'm trying to say is, it's interesting that they give David Harbour almost entirely the comedic moments and all this stuff, but his female counterpart of a parent who wronged the main characters and who they're trying to, you know, reconcile with their kids, she is just played straight and completely, like, you know, almost as if, like you said, it's for emotion. And I don't understand why you'd need to limit your characters to be one spectrum or one end of the spectrum. It's just... People aren't like that usually, so I know he's the dressed up comic book superheroes and whatever, but you still, you know, the rules still apply.
I can't speak from experience, but I would suggest if you're, you know, you used to be kind of an icon for the Communist Party, you're Russia's only super soldier, and you have your costume, and you have your shield, and you're like an anti or not a villain. But like a co-worker of Captain America for another ideology. And then you get, well, first you have an undercover mission where you can use neither of the shield or the powers or your suit. And then you get thrown in prison. There is a longing for the glory days, but longing for glory days shouldn't be your only character trait.
Yeah, no, I fully agreed.
David Harbour's character Hopper in Stranger Things, where in season one and also in season two, he's just relatable guy. Basically, he's still, like, in the first season, still, like, reminiscent of the, you know, the 80s shows, films.
Yeah.
With a drunk cop.
Yeah.
But he has an emotional arc and he gets through it. And then in season three, he's just this angry, sexual cop with a lot of issues, just drinks, gets drunk publicly, which is a shame.
It is a shame. It's a massive shame. I need to rewatch Stranger Things because, you know, it's ringing a bell. But all I remember of Hopper in season three is that he's just like the classic dad, right? He's just obsessed with Eleven and he's like, please don't go out so late and all that
stuff. The overprotective, the angry cop. Well, we're getting off topic here, but I feel like...
He's a little typecast in a way.
Yeah, like this, because he used to be, in season one and season two, he's such great, like, he's still a drunk cop, but he also has a heartfelt backstory and whatever. And now with both Stranger Things season three a bit more, and now with Taskmaster, he has emotional moments.
Red Guardian.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I said Taskmaster?
Yeah.
Whoops. Well, as Red Guardian and Hopper, they have the emotional moments, but they also get sidetracked by, well, very annoying character traits sprinkled throughout. I mean, what do you think about the story in general, or maybe the villains Dreykov and Taskmaster?
I'll be honest, I wanted a lot more out of it. It didn't do much for me, but it led to cool moments, so you can't really fault it for that. But I just think there wasn't really there wasn't even really a villain that you could... Obviously, there was a villain you could root against, but I don't really give a shit because I don't know the first thing about the Red Room. I don't know what... I know he's done all this stuff to Natasha and all the people she trained with and all that, but I feel like it's not really... It's hinted at, but they don't really concretely say, you know, the extent of his abuse, I don't think. And it's a Marvel movie. I shouldn't really expect that. But at the same time, I think it could have done with a bit more development in the villain side. I don't think there was enough there.
True.
Taskmaster was just laughable, to be honest. Cool presence, but when it actually came out who she was and all that stuff, it's like, what? You just wasted Taskmaster for this?
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of wondering, because I haven't read the comics, so I didn't know about Taskmaster to begin with.
Yeah.
But like regarding the movie and people who would have only watched the movies...
Mm-hmm.
They don't know Taskmaster. They think it's Taskmaster Protocol. What is it?
Yeah.
And for it to be, Antonia from the movie, that fits into that story because it plugs back into Natasha's past.
Mm.
But when you know when in the comics it's an ex-SHIELD agent who has, like, photocopying abilities in his mind.
I mean, I don't even know, you know, that much about him other than his ability. Or I guess it could also be her, depending on your interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Except for his abilities, their abilities. But I feel like the way it was done where, you know, they didn't speak because obviously they were trying to protect the fact that it was the girl from earlier. So, you know, they didn't speak at all. There wasn't that much... I wanted more Taskmaster memory stuff. Like, there was a cool moment where she picked up the shield. There was a cool moment where she started fighting, like, Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? I think there was also a...
Oh, she was copying Natasha.
Many moments. Yeah. I love that stuff. Like, when you saw the fight styles being influenced...
Bow and Arrow, Marvel of Hawkeye. Characters.
Yeah.
The chase or the action sequences in this movie are top tier.
Yeah.
Even the cinematography, when it's not blue screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there are some shots in this movie, they are beautiful.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there are also shots where you're like, really? This couldn't have been done, like, in an open field.
Exactly.
It'd have to be a blue box with a bit of sand at your feet.
Because I think one example you think of was the bridge scene. Am I wrong?
The bridge? You mean in the prison?
No, the bridge. The prison also was a little janky at times. But the bridge, when Taskmaster first fights her, I thought that was a bit janky, like... The bridge just looked off. It looked
too big.
Too big. The night was too dark. I don't know. It's little nitpicks that I can't really explain, but it was off. Something was off.
I don't think it's like it's too dark or whatever, because the lighting was fine. But I feel like with the camera movements, like they cut part of the bridge away.
Yeah.
For a smooth flow of the camera.
Right.
But yeah, those really feel jarring. It's also because at the end, I think, this is pretty well shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go back into the making of footage and then you see it's just blue screen. And part of you is like, holy shit, they can do this. And another part is like, what the... They couldn't called, like, Chloe Zhao, how the fuck did you film Eternals?
Yeah, exactly. Just ask her, you know?
Well, Marvel now already has Emmys, so...
It's got Emmys, yeah. It's got Emmys. From WandaVision.
WandaVision.
WandaVision. Just WandaVision.
Just WandaVision, I think.
Yeah. What else? I think it did look great for most part. The scene at the end was brilliant. The way she's diving down and everything's just chaotic. I don't know how she survived, but she did, you know. Why not? She
pulled the chute at the very last second.
Oh, badass. You're like,
they should have shattered your ankles, I think.
Yeah. Boy, your fibula should be in your shoulder right now.
Natasha Romanoff is a bad bitch. She can survive anything.
Yeah, of course. The soundtrack was great. I think the cinematography was mixed bag, but some, like you said, some shots were really beautiful. But, you know, like you said about the field, why were they not just on a field at the end? In the name of God, like, maybe it was a pandemic thing, but that looked ridiculous. I don't understand why you make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, Black Widow for me, it just felt unnecessary. I had a good time.
Unnecessary?
It felt unnecessary, like... I felt like, okay, I've already seen how a story plays out.
Yeah, okay.
This is like just that. A bit of extra context, which is nice because I did like the family chemistry. It was the highlight of the film for me, was the way that everyone interacted. There was some hilarious moments and like... But it just felt like, you know, this story isn't accomplishing anything other than telling us what we know, which is Natasha's a badass.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that. You know, we knew that. We've known that the whole time. We didn't, you know...
I think what this movie also did for Phase 4, just in Marvel in general, it's kind of like, well, you finish with... Natasha's arc. So where do you go from there? Well, it says of Yelena. as a, well, basically the new Black Widow.
Yeah.
And what I found pretty funny is the young Yelena in the opening sequence, she's played by the same actress who plays younger Nell in The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, snap. Yeah. Right.
I was like, I recognize his face. And
Natasha, I also thought they were great,
Natasha, the younger Natasha, she is also played by Mila Jovovich.
Mila Jovovich.
The daughter of Mila Jovovich plays young Natasha in the opening sequence.
I thought they were both great. Just to summarize, I'll put some of my thoughts that I wrote down as I watched it. Direction is great so far is the very first thing that I wrote. And I also said Taskmaster had better be clever. Didn't actually turn out like that. The impact of blows is pretty impactful. It did look great whenever someone got punched. It felt like they actually were hurt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One big problem I did have with it, to be fair, is that it seemed like it was just going from exposition to fight scenes, and then exposition, and then exposition, and fight scene, and exposition, and fight scene. The start of the movie was an issue, but by the end, it just felt very, you know, it hurt me. It tired me, it did. The movie is darker than I expect. There's a lot of death, like there's a lot of real serious injuries, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, so, you know, one problem I had going into the film was like, could this movie even have ramifications for the bigger MCU? Like most MCU movies.
And yes, it did.
Yeah, it did.
It was supposed to be the first on-screen appearance of Countess Valentina.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah, because, you know, Yelena being the first Thunderbolt, or whatever they're going to be called.
Thunderbolts, Dark Avengers.
Yeah, it would have made a lot of sense. That was a great scene.
The edgy fantastic. Avengers.
Yeah, exactly. Not sure why every Russian character is played by Americans. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just missed Nat. Her family is amazing and would have been a great addition to the MCU 6 years ago rather than just now. Yeah. Why is this the first female... Why is this not the first female-led Marvel film? Captain Marvel didn't do it for me. And finally, just at the bottom end here, the fight to the ground was a very good end fight. Creative and fun. Feels like a bit of a waste of Taskmaster, but overall it's nice for Nat... her character arc, and I doubt Taskmaster could really be a huge villain after...
I think they're going to be setting her up as maybe another Thunderbolt or Dark Avenger type.
Okay.
Because she is now with Yelena as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So she might be... They might be like, good cop, bad cop.
Fair enough.
Good cop, bad cop.
Much better. Because I feel like she would have been a really great Phase 1 villain. Like, not you know, Loki level, but just underneath that.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to this movie, Captain Marvel, I did not enjoy anywhere near as much.
Don't go shitting on Captain Marvel now.
No, I'm just saying, she could have been introduced in Endgame, would have been way more cool of a moment when she just like breaks in and does all that stuff. It makes more sense to have Black Widow be the first female-led Marvel film, for obvious reasons. I was impressed by cinematography and choreography overall. The choreography was great. And finally, yeah, I mean, Black Widow's backstory and the supporting characters were...
Sorry, you're going to have to restart.
Yeah, I know. Last few things I wrote down. The fighting pose quip, one of Marvel's best ever quips. And then I said, maybe I just love Florence Pugh. Not sure which one it is. It could be either one. The post-credit scene affected me emotionally, which I was not expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't really need a big cameo. Like, when I started the film, I was expecting someone to show up. Overall, my thoughts about the film are thus. That's even worse. So overall, it gave me a new appreciation for Nat. It showed us reasons why she's so strong rather than just her being strong. You know, it was believable her surviving what she did because of her training and how she reacts to stuff. You know, it was great seeing a non-powered superhero post-Phase 2 doing some stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like even in, you know, the Captain America movies, we'll have at least one superhero, proper superhero.
Yeah, Peter Quill was, in the first movie, well, he had a strange dad, but his mom was human, so he thought, oh, he's human.
Yeah.
Apparently he's part celestial.
Yeah, exactly. So even when you think you have a non-powered human character, nope, you don't actually. He's half God.
Aha!
But yeah, overall...
You can turn into Pac-Man.
Yes, actually.
Waka, waka, waka.
Always a power I'd love to have. Overall, I did enjoy it. I think it was a bit unnecessary, but I still enjoyed myself.
Mm-hmm.
And Florence is great, and I'm down for whatever she does next.
Yeah. I want to add on to that with my my last notes. I wrote that the effects, acting, costumes, music were great. Lighting and cinematography, well, at least, well, what we thought were through cinematic shots. I don't know which is real and which is CG now, but it's some of the finest we've seen in the MCU, to my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Especially the air fight at the end.
Yeah, and I really like the more like the spy born Bond type or style of the movie. Even though like the introduction, like the credits were at the beginning and not at the end. The little snippet of music, like the cover of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking dark.
That's, yeah.
That intro was very dark with the screaming kids and just...
And they didn't even... It's not a song you need to censor, but there's some words in there that I feel are not really for normal audiences.
No, I have the song in my playlist. Like, you like load up on guns. It's in there, like...
They use a really old-fashioned term for mixed race people, like, you know.
I don't know if it's hearable in the movie.
It was to me, okay?
No, okay! But yeah, then, the last part of the movie, the Marvel overuse of ending emotional scenes with a joke or making something funny just for the sake of being funny.
Yeah.
Like, I've written down, the characters are allowed to feel down. Let the emotions connect to the audience before you make another joke. Gosh, damn it!
Preach, preach, preach!
Besides that, I found Dracov a pretty Bond-like villain, which is fine for the style of the movie. Yeah. But you could have expected more because he was a very big creep. He would get in your personal space or he would get in everyone's personal space. They couldn't do anything about it. Mm. And he said, well, the world has more than enough girls. We can lose a few. It was like, fucking Weinstein. Overall, a great cinema, an actual cinematic start to the MCU's Phase 4.
Mm.
Instead of being WandaVision was great. I mean, starting off Phase 4 with WandaVision was also turn of the century, basically, like, what the fuck is going on? Really fun. But I would feel like this was kind of like
the true,
easing us into what is to come.
Yeah, yeah.
Take that issue as you will. But a very solid movie with a few messes. I written down because I wrote this before I saw Shang-Chi. I'm really interested in Shang-Chi, Eternals, and all the other Phase 4 releases.
Mm. Natasha. How is this? How would this compare to Shang-Chi for you?
The sibling dynamic in Black Widow is better, than Shang-Chi because both siblings can fight, but the only dynamic really explained between Shang-Chi and I think it's Mei-Ling is explained for the majority in backstory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with Natasha, you have only the little scene in the beginning with her and Yelena, and then throughout the movie where they're explaining how everything is turned to shit, basically. The villain, Shang-Chi, a lot better.
Yeah.
But sure. I feel like we're going to talk about that ever
that Shang-Chi soon, just a little
teaser. It's on the way. It's on the horizon as well. Overall, I like Shang-Chi more.
Yeah,
but Florence Pugh and Scarlett Johansson really they made one of my both are in my top 10 for Marvel movies. Normally, it wouldn't say much to have a movie in your top 10.
Okay,
but when it's
right.
A cinematic universe with 25 movies,
yeah,
you're allowed to say that. Nat, thank you for your work as an Avenger.
Yes,
happy you finally got the movie you deserved as a character.
Yeah, ultimately.
Even though. It's a bit too late.
Yeah.
It's hard
she
to say,
it, so.
It's hard to say goodbye to her character.
Mm.
But I feel like if this would be the last project Scarlett Johansson would have filmed or would film as Natasha Romanoff for Marvel, and a great standoff. And I'm just happy they finally settled the fucking lawsuit as well.
Yes, it is. But it shouldn't have been one in the first place, the bastards.
True.
But...
I remember I went to the cinema to watch it a second time, and we're talking like, Disney Plus streaming, blah, blah, blah. We just weren't like, oh, well. Would you look at that? Scarlett sued Disney like the fuck?
Yeah, trust.
Hey, what?
Because you think that, you know, that's their confidant. Like, they've been together for so long, working together creatively.
Disney.
Get your shit together.
Disney out there for the money.
Yeah, they out there for the pennies. The mouse is pinching it.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, stay seated for the end credit scene because...
Yeah.
If I would mind, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It was quite emotional, honestly. It was emotionally charged as well. Like I said, I did not expect it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Florence killed it. She absolutely crushed it. She's one of my favorite actors in the world.
I think I still have to see Midsommar, but I did.
Oh, she kills it in that as well. Absolutely phenomenal.
She also does a really good job in Little Women.
Yeah.
Little Women is also a movie I would maybe sometimes like to discuss.
Yeah, yeah, I'm down for that.
It's a bit weird for maybe guys to discuss Little guys. Women.
Maybe the girls out there are listening. You can tell us if our opinions.
If you wanna, if you wanna jump in on an episode.
Oh yeah,
talk about Little Women.
Yeah, I think we kind of are obligated to bring a woman onto Little Women.
No, that's typecasting. We don't have to. We can just discuss it ourselves
from a male gazy perspective. Like, yes.
No, I don't think male gaze is the appropriate pronunciation for it. Something like this.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
But yeah, no, she did well. She did really well in a cast that's like an insane cast.
I'm interested to see how Yelena will fit into the Hawkeye series because she is going to be there.
A villain, I have heard.
Well, she is definitely going after Clint's ass.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't, you know?
Maybe his kids.
Oh, God. Who's the girl then? Who's Hayley Steinfeld?
Kate Bishop.
So is that his, like... No, kid or
no. Kate Bishop is just like a basic Hawkeye fangirl.
Oh, okay, right.
So Clint is retired.
Yeah, but I thought because I remember in Endgame, the start of Endgame, you see him teaching his daughter how to shoot
arrows. His daughter, but
so I thought it was her growing up. Nope. Like that's who.
Just a fangirl.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that was Black Widow. What would you? I know numbers are arbitrary, but what would you give it out of 10?
When I wrote my Letterboxd review, I gave it an 8.5.
8.5?
But I always grade movies from the top and build down. You start from zero and build up.
You can tell the dynamics. He's the optimist, I'm the pessimist, you know?
I believe that things start perfect.
All right. Have you ever seen The Room with Tommy Wiseau?
No.
Because that at no point in his history was a 10. Even in the 0.001 second after it started, it's still not a 10. We should watch it one time.
100%. What was your opinion on Step Brothers again?
All right, look, listen. Listen.
Another episode.
But Luke doesn't like Step Brothers.
Fuck that movie. Worst movie I've ever seen.
That's a reach. Come on. It's not that bad. It's immature.
I've never been that uninterested in a movie before. God. I never physically cringed harder with a movie before.
Okay, Faz. But that's another episode. We'll do Adam McKay one day. Adam, look out for that, you know.
Yeah. What else have we got coming? We are definitely going to be discussing Dune.
Definitely Dune.
We went to the fucking premiere for that one.
The very minute it opened across Europe, we were watching it.
Let's just say I had only read like the first 20 pages of the novel. And this guy next to me was just nerdgasming all over the cinema seats.
I had to clean up afterwards. Like, it was bad.
He was wearing his cinema pants. Dune's still on the schedule. Shang-Chi also somewhere up there. Yeah. And we will also be discussing one of my favorite directors at the moment, which is Mike Flanagan.
Yes.
His great shows, Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor, which you have still yet to finish.
I'm halfway through.
And Midnight Mass, which is out now on Netflix, which I binged in like one or two goes.
You know what else I want to talk about? Because, yeah, Mike Flanagan, by the way.
That's going to be our first director-focused episode instead of just a single media
text. Yeah, I can live with that. I think he's very unique in that he's a contemporary horror director who kind of uses old-school tactics, but still. We'll do it. You'll see soon. You know, we'll get there.
Yeah.
I would also like to talk about Squid Game. I've been binging it yesterday, and I'll be honest, the hype is real. The hype is pretty real. It's great.
I still have to see it. It's not even on my list yet. It's just I see the amount of memes and how obsessive everyone is, and
it's everywhere,
isn't it? I'm not turned on to watch
Jesus
it.
Jesus Christ, man.
I'm going to have to start watching it, but it doesn't...
It's not going to turn you on.
No, it doesn't speak to me like, oh, this is something I have to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Me neither.
Like, it just feels a bit too over-memed.
Yeah, yeah. I only threw it on because everyone was talking about it, and I was like, let's see what it's all about. And it's not earth-changing by any means, but it's a solid, solid show so far.
Yeah, that's the thing what I have when people are all overhyping stuff and saying, it's so amazing. Like, all right, I'll be the judge of that.
Exactly. There's another show, Alice in Borderland, which is a similar concept.
Oh, yeah, I still have to see that.
Which I thought is on the same level, but no one really talked about it at all.
I know off the show, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. But yeah, that was Black Widow. We'll be back very soon to talk about other things.
Other things.
I'm Jake.
I'm Lucas.
And this is Cinema Smash.
Signing off.